front of the home crowd on the board. Fallman dropping back, looking to the corner of the end zone. It's going to be caught short, but it is going to be caught. Trying to slide that one on the right pylon, and that's a good gain on first down for McMaster.
And again, Thalman able to get the ball thrown quickly outside, that time looking for Nemeth, and he's picked up his third reception here of the second half. And when he does that, it, you know, yes, it's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit too much arc underneath it, but it makes it harder for St. Arnaud to be able to come out quickly to make the tackle on the play for the Gaels.
So here we go. It is second and a yard or so, but Duchesne is stopped up by number 44, Justin Pace, and number 30, Jacob Baldwin. Trying to run it up the gut is no easy feat with a team of talented linebackers like that, as we will now get, I think this is what, our third and short of the drive?
Indeed it is, and that time initially nicely blocked up front by the Mac offensive line, but Pace, as you said, stepping into the hole and really standing up Duchesne, not allowing him to pick up first down yardage.
So here we go. This is a consequential play with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Mac down 29-2. This is a third and short. Thalman under pressure. He is harangued, harassed, and ultimately throws it incomplete thanks to the efforts of number 52, Ollie Jackson.
Great play by Jackson coming off the corner, but I think the other thing that throws off this play was a high snap that time from Adam Woods getting the ball back to his pivot, and that play action fake was thrown off, so then, you know, Jackson's not looking at the running back at all. He's going to come in hard to try and make the tackle, and then the pass was just a little bit thrown too far, eluding his receiver in the end zone.
A little bit off the back foot as well. That pressure, he couldn't quite set his feet. Very talented arm strength and mobility, but sometimes the two don't always play very nicely together, as Queens is going to take over on their own 3-yard line. First and 10, Ethan Dahl in the ball game, and he is going to maybe actually lose a yard there on that handoff. As credit to this Queens defense, but very likely we see them on the field again soon here with second and 11 from your own 2.
Malik Bolt stepping up to force Dahl to make the move right at the line, and actually even behind the line of scrimmage.
Nothing to work with there. Moving back as Mac has a golden opportunity here to pick up points. And we will just see a short scrum of a run and likely a conceded safety. So this Queens defense, great job, but catch your breath, get back on the field because, they need you.
And again, we've seen, you know, some conservative calls here today, right? And, you know, is some of this a byproduct of, you know, what happened last week on that third and short? And that, maybe. But again, you know, the Gaels haven't given up any points defensively here this afternoon. So, you know, Steve Snyder saying, you know, I'm going to put the game somewhat in the hands of his defensive coordinator, Ryan McManus, and the job that the Gaels defense have been doing here by and large for most of this half, most of this game.
We do have a marauder down. That is number 52, Jaheim Lindo. Doesn't look like it's anything. Or sorry, number 53, my mistake, Christian Chukwuali II. Doesn't look like it's anything too serious, Don. Maybe a cramp. Not a super humid day, but they've been playing all day.
And again, it's still early in the season, and that, you know, so it's sometimes it's sort of building up, you know, that sort of football strength kind of thing that, you know, Mac did not have an exhibition game. So,
right.
You know, Queens did have the opportunity for that controlled scrimmage against Carleton.
As we are going to, yes, that is Nathan Falcone back there to concede the safety. And I would imagine probably run around a bit, kill some clock while he's at it, as they're going to run this down as far as they can. And then let Falcone kill 10, 15 seconds or so. As Falcone is pursued out of bounds, as Queens will give up their second safety of the day, making it a 29-4 ball game.
one rule that was brought in the offseason, and that this year, call it the safety blocking rule. It used to be the most held play ever. When you're going to concede the safety, you're going to hold all over the place kind of thing. And then essentially that 10 yards was just, you know, just went into the ether kind of thing. It, what would happen now is that if there was indeed a safety, then the 10 yards, if there was a hold on the safety, the 10 yards would then get marked off on the next play. So then Mac would get advantage of that. So it's forcing teams to make sure that you, you know, you block honestly and don't simply grab everybody up front.
I remember, what was it? I think it was the Baltimore Ravens. There was that, like, 45-second grab-and-clinch game-ending punt situation. Yeah, not going to fly in the OUA, as we now have fullback and halfback in this look, and we are going to see a handoff to Micah Duchesne, but that is a great play by, guess who, number 44, Justin Pace, who has really started to catch on to the rhythm of this Mac run game, making the right reads there to secure a short gain, about three, maybe four, setting up second and six.
As you said, they bring in their fullback. Good to see him back out there.
Thank you.
Right now, leader in that. But again, Justin Pace stepping up, having a big game here this afternoon for Queens.
All-Canadian caliber player showing why here today, as Thalman looking over the middle, over the hands of Justin Pace, but just barely. However, control yourself, young man. No reason to draw another UC there.
Well, I'm wondering if actually Pace might have just got a fingertip on that ball as to why we saw his exuberance after that, but Gale's defense stiffening there. I think he might have just got a fingertip on that, because the ball came out of Thalman's hands, I thought, with a nice spiral, and then got a little bit wobbly just before the receiver got to it.
Good eye, Don. As we have got a punt here fielded by Russell Weir just inside the 20-yard line, and he is really going to have to do some work if he's going to get out there. High tackle, but just low enough that no flag will be issued, and certainly not a malicious, intentional play at that. So, two and out for McMaster, thanks to the prodigious efforts of Justin Pace, a tackle, and then, as noted by my colleague Don, a pinky grazing pass deflection to send the Thalman effort awry, as this Queens offense is back on the field after conceding a safety.
I think if Justin was only 6'1½", he might not have made that play, but that 6'1 height that he has allowed them to break up that play.
I think the hair gives him that extra inch. As Jack Ashby-Jacobs once again out in isolation, good grab by Jack Ashby-Jacobs, who with a second effort will get close to first down yardage and will bring us to the end of our third quarter. As the Gales lead by 25, it is a 29-4 ball game. Thank you to our third quarter sponsor, the Queens Alumni Review. Here is a word from our fourth quarter and title sponsor, the Grad Club. We'll be with you again shortly, folks. This is Gales Game Day on CFRC.
Listening to Gales Game Day on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up next, fourth quarter football action, brought to you by the Grad Club.
Thank you again to our title sponsor this year, the Grad Club. With just a lovely, warm, inviting, comfortable atmosphere and a ton of great items on the food and beverage menu, if you're looking for a great place to enjoy a local concert or event, or maybe even a Queens football game up on the big screen, the Grad Club is your number one destination for comfort, affordability, and that Queens spirit of excellence. It is the fourth quarter here in Hamilton. The Gales lead 29-4. It is a second and short, and we are going to see a handoff to Jared Kasari. And Kasari, a bit of a lunch pail run there, falling forward for a first down.
Once again, one of the key aspects of this play is Russell Weir and the job he does. He's in that slot back position, starts to come back in, looks as though he might be going to the other side of the formation, then quickly goes up and takes the outside linebacker coming up and negates his impact on the play, allows Kasari to step inside and pick up the first down.
As we have got now a fresh set of downs from the Queens 45. As Vrakin is going to hand it off to Kasari again. Oh, Jared Kasari with a beautiful juke right, running through tackles, a stiff arm to extend the play and drive that ball deep into Mac territory. Way to make a play, number 29, Jared Kasari.
Kasari's best run of the season for the Gales, and this time the Gales' offensive line, instead of doing any of that motion left and right, just simply straight dry blocking going downfield. And then you get the run into the secondary for Kasari. Nice block on the outside by Jack Ashby-Jacobs, shielding the defensive back and allowing Kasari to pick up another 10 to 15 yards downfield.
And that is a scary sight. If this Queens run offense starts to get their legs underneath them, it makes them, as we've touched on, unpredictable, and that makes them dangerous. Vrakin stepping up, looking for Mateo Tuioti, and I think that's good coverage there. It was close, Don. It was close. It was body to body, but he reached over the top, and I don't think he brought Tuioti down. I think Tuioti, in the process of trying to secure the catch, went down. That looked like good, clean defensive play to me from number five for the McMaster Marauders, matched up against a Titanic H-back. That's Isaiah Shields. That's the Sam linebacker making a great coverage play there.
Shields very athletic, and that Steve Snyder highlighted his athleticism in the pregame discussions.
Freaking dropping back on second. Oh my goodness, Mateo Tuioti wide open there. Oh my gosh. Bringing the boom, lowering the lumber like his name was Home Hardware. Mateo Tuioti. Woo.
Sean Underhill taking that for the team for McMaster that time, coming up to make the tackle, or I guess helping to bring Tuioti down. And we've seen this a few times this year. We saw it a lot on the left side of the offensive formation, and that the Gales scheming Tuioti to help get him wide open.
It's hard to imagine how you can lose a guy that size. But he vanishes and reappears with a first down. Another handoff to Kasari. Kasari, like a bolt of lightning through the middle of the MAC defense, has got his offense knock, knock, knocking on the door. 6 points, Don. What a drive from Jared Kasari.
A quick handoff right off the left side up between Jazz Kerr and Sean Matheson, the 294-pound left tackle, a 339-pound left offensive guard, opening up a huge hole that time for Kasari.
339 pounds, Don. Oh, my gosh. That's a whole lot of meat and muscle, and the Gales will need it here. First and goal from the one, Ethan Dahl, through the wall. And I think it is, yes indeed, another touchdown for your Gales as they cross the 30-point threshold for the second time this season. And although we saw a great throw and catch there from Tuioti and Vrakin, they got it done primarily with terra firma, Don, on the ground for 6 more points.
Well, great point. That was something we were talking about coming out of the halftime break, is that what would the Gales do to try and finish this game off? And they've really kind of maintained some of the sort of possession passing game, if you will. They haven't taken really any of the deep shots here in the second half, but this running game is really starting to get things moving here for the Gales.
And that is a frightening prospect for defensive coordinators across the OUA, as Queens looking to close out a very game MAC team and pick up their first win of the season. Still a lot of time on the clock. We learned that lesson last week, but Queens looking to round into fine form because they've got the defending champions coming to their barn next week, the Laurier Golden Hawks, the team that eliminated the Gales from the playoffs in the OUA semifinals. Mulling on for the extra point to try and make it a 32-point ball game. And he continues his run of extra point perfection, has yet to miss one in his decorated career, and he's been great today from field goal distance as well.
And Jesse, if he does miss one at some point, we know who we're going to be looking at for breaking the kicker curse here. So anyway, 12:09 though to go, as he said, 32-point lead, 36-4 the score here. as the Gaels go for their first win of the season, and as we said, first win in regular season and since the Gaels have come back into the OU.
Yes, it's conference realignment.
Yep.
Well, it's it was a very close first quarter. The feeling out process, we saw a lot of great stuff from each team, but I think the veteran guile, especially offensively for the Gaels, has helped them find a consistent rhythm against a McMaster defense that very clearly has some outstanding pieces. Isaiah Shields, you have Anthony Sestanovic, who had that tremendous strip sack to get Mac within striking distance. And we're going to see Tyler Mullen on again. He's been busy today fulfilling the punting and kicking duties, and that one is caught about the 6-yard line by Micah Duchesne, who will pick up a eventful 10 yards or so.
Big special teams battle that time. Christian Chikwali, the blocker for McMaster, taking on Eli Bennett. Bennett coming downfield. Big collision between the two. Bennett forcing the play back inside. And once again, we see Mullen kicking the ball outside the hash. And it makes it that much easier for his coverage team to get downfield. Just those kind of hidden pieces of the game in that. And once again, you know, we saw it last year. We're continuing to see this tremendous job. Charlie Taggart coaching this Gaels special teams unit.
Was the best unit in the country last year. And it looks prime for another big one in 2025. Hand off to Micah Duchesne. And Duchesne is going to find very little purchase as the DJ on the ones and twos there, Don. That's DJ Ryan with the tackle, securing a short gain for Micah Duchesne, who we talked about Russell Weir and his versatility, but Micah Duchesne has been all over the field today as well. Usually Braden Kelly is the primary tailback, but it's been a lot of Micah Duchesne today. Certainly somebody I think that this McMaster team likes for the future.
Well, you talk about the Gaels, you know, we're seeing the play right now of Kasari and Dahl, and exactly as I say, you know, Duchesne now starting to have a little bit of his coming out here this afternoon for McMaster.
So second and 7, Thalman on a bootleg is going to find his man, but Ian St. Arnaud with him every step of the way secures the tackle, but I think they are gesturing for a first down. Yes, indeed.
Good, quick decision that time by Thalman. It was called for a rollout to the left side, and that, and he, again, he does a nice job. When we see good plays here this afternoon, McMaster, it's throwing it in time. He throws that ball before the time, before the receiver's made the break, and allows him to be able to pick up the first down yardage just before he got hit by St. Arnaud.
And that is consistent with a quarterback that maybe doesn't have as much experience. You really want to keep them in that rhythm, keep them on time. Don't make them have to improvise and play hero ball, but Thalman will have to improvise and scramble for his well-being there, getting out of bounds after a short game pursued by the athletically gifted and high football IQ rookie Jacob Baldwin, somebody Justin Pace has talked up immensely, saying, and I swear this is true, folks, that Jacob Baldwin might have an even higher ceiling than Justin Pace does here for the tricolor.
Justin, along with his brother Jace, part of the Brother Brigade, 7 yes. Brother combinations this year and on the Queens roster.
Second and 6 for the McMaster Marauders. It's going to be a screen pass. It was a great attempt by Micah Duchesne, but he lost his footing as the ball falls harmlessly to the turf, bringing up a punt situation. Yes, the Brother Brigade. We have the Kasari brothers, Liam and Jared, a transfer Liam from, I believe, he was an out east prospect.
He was in Dalhousie as well, and just as Sean Matheson was, yep.
And there's always a brotherhood on this Queens team, but it helps when there is also a biological brotherhood to draw from as well. Horvat on to punt. Another good punt by Michael Horvat, holding up his end of the deal today. Russell Weir fielding this one, and great form tackle there from the Marauders. That is a beautiful, clean scoop tackle by Victor Bodie. And you know what? It's so easy in the era of highlight reels and highlight tapes. When you see a great, just fundamental football play like that, Don, how can you not get excited?
Great special teams tackle getting downfield to make the hit. And it was a good job by Weir, you know, taking the ball, getting upfield quickly for the Gaels, and Jesse, we now see a change up under center here.
Isaiah Adams in the backfield, Anthony Leo, who we saw a great deal of last season, very nearly led a courageous comeback against Laurier in the OUA semifinals. But he's going to hand the ball off here. Isaiah Adams, hard charging run from Isaiah Adams. Great second effort running through the arm tackles, firing forward for a first down as another veteran, Jared Kasari, into the backfield here. And I don't know, I think Kasari might be in maybe, this might be a quick pass. I just feel like we're going to get a chance to see Anthony Leo spin this thing.
Leo just two pass attempts when he came in for Vraken at the end of the first half last week. Completed one for 11 yards.
It will indeed be a handoff. Kasari is bottled up, though. Not going to find any free space there. Despite his attempt to bounce that one, there was no bouncing for Jared Kasari.
That time, the defensive tackle, the nose tackle, Greg Palmer, doing a nice job stuffing the play, allowing Dominic Lamani, his defensive tackle brother, to come up and limit Kasari to just a half-yard gain.
It'll be second and 9.5, let's say, from about the Queen's 42-yard line. Anthony Leo in the ball game here. Alex Vraken enjoying a well-earned rest. Leo is going to pass this one. Great pass. Great second effort. Nathan Falcone fighting through a phone booth there, Don, to pick up a first down and then some.
Great job by Falcone securing the completion and then able to pick up the first down yardage. I also think on this play, a nice job by Leo, and that was looked to be set up to be that quick pass to get it out sort of right as you get back to your spot for the quarterback when he's making his drop. Saw that Falcone was covered initially, waited a step, pumped again, and got it downfield. First down yardage into the Mac end. Still, the field.
Still a young player is Anthony Leo, but he's got veteran experience with how often he was called upon last year. We're going to see him let another one loose. This one is tipped and very nearly picked off by number 98. No, it's not a typo. That is Dominic Lamani, 295 pounds, 6'4" tall. And, well, Don, if he was an inch taller, he might have been able to wrap his hands around that tipped Anthony Leo pass.
Maybe needed to bore that inch from Justin Pace we talked about earlier. But, as you say, nice job tipping the ball. And, again, it's a little bit of the difference. Certainly, you can't coach height. And that just physically, Anthony Leo, a little bit shorter, obviously 7 inches shorter than Alex.
It's a tall man's game, quarterback sometimes. Leo on second and long, but this is what he does well. He had a chance, but he is tracked down by number 55 for the Marauders. That's a play from Ryan Broom. And that will kill that promising Queens drive. Great stand there from the McMaster defense. You know it's been a long day. They've got to be tired, but way to rebound, be resilient on that one.
Well, credit the McMaster secondary that play. And that forcing, Leo initially had time, but then when he was forced to scramble inside, Broom coming up from his left defensive end position to make a nice tackle for the sack.
That's Tyler Mullen on once more to punt this one away. See if he keeps it, and he will, outside the numbers once again. In fact, outside the playing field, as Mack making their way back onto the field. Tough day for the offense so far, but 6.5 minutes remain. Chance to maybe end this on a positive note. Get some positive momentum for next week, although I believe they've got the week 2 bye, Don. So lots to workshop coming up.
Indeed. Mac have the bye next week. And so we take a look at things further on down the schedule for Big Mac, for Mac. The following week, they'll be traveling down to Windsor for a Saturday night game, and then they come back home here on the 20th to take on the Guelph Griffins.
Oof. That is a pair of very physical football games on the horizon for McMaster. they may need a little bit of TLC time on that bye week, because those are two teams that play a very hard-charging physical game. Guelph with Tristan Abood putting up over 400 yards in their week one narrow loss to the Laurier Golden Hawks. I'm looking very much forward to that October 4th game between Queens and Guelph.
Well, and that Guelph team outgaining Laurier last week, and that, you know, yes, Laurier comes away with the win and that, but you know, we saw a very close game at Richardson last year when the Mark Soria coach Guelph Griffins came down. It was a very tough game that afternoon for the Gaels. And, yeah, I certainly expect to see when Queens goes down there later this season. You know, again, you talk about some of the top four teams. You know, we have four OU teams right now ranked in the U Sports top 10 this year. And that Laurier, Western, Guelph, and Queens.
It really does feel like there's some natural pairings there. I feel like Western and Laurier, Queens and Guelph, one of those four teams very likely to possibly be your Yates Cup champion. I think there's going to be some fantastic football amongst the top teams in the conference this year. Going to be a handoff on first and 10. Jacob Baldwin, not only is he in the hole to stop the game, but he secures and finishes the tackle. Great game for Jacob Baldwin. I thought he played well last week, Don, but he seems to just be so consistently present on every play today. Well,
I think one of the things we're seeing, and you know, some of it maybe, you know, you're taking a look at a different opponent. A lot of the tackles last week made by the secondary. A lot of the tackles this week made by the linebackers and the defensive line.
As it will be second and 6. From about the 36, if you're just joining us, Queens up 36-4. Fallman is going to step up. Stephen Capea was there, but was still engaged. Good job by the Mac O-line. Fallman is going to be stopped short. Secondary holding strong there, forcing Fallman to settle for a short gain on the ground as opposed to a first down pass.
I think one of the other hidden plays we see this time, Joel Birch was trying to leak out just in behind, in that soft zone, in behind the linebackers. Gillingham is going in on a blitz, chips Birch right at the line of scrimmage, throws off his route, and I think threw off the timing of that whole play.
That's Horvat on to punt again. Line drive fielded by Ben Falkowski, number 11 for the Gaels. First time seeing him today. Ooh, a couple elusive moves from Ben Falkowski. Takes about five marauders to bring down Ben Falkowski, a player highlighted by Coach Steve Snyder actually last year in one of our quarterback club media days. Showed off some impressive practice tape, flagged him as one to watch for the future, and the future is now for Ben Falkowski.
6 foot, 180 pound receiver for the Gaels. We saw him getting a lot of action in that controlled scrimmage against Carleton and showed a lot of promise in that game, in that practice.
First year of eligibility, second year with the program, as a fellow second year, Ethan Dahl in the ball game here. Anthony Leo in it. They're going to drop back. Wow, Matt Camillo, the Hamilton boy, Sir Alan McNabb's finest, wide open, taking that one to midfield. Matt Camillo had nary a marauder around him for about 10 yards there.
This is the same play we've seen a few times earlier in the game, the connection between Alex Vraken and Preston Martin. And again, it's, you know, if the quarterback, this time it's Anthony Leo, sees off coverage, sees the defensive back standing well back from the receiver. As soon as he gets the snap, he's just turning and looking to get it out to his receiver, in this case, Camillo, getting his best gain here of this afternoon's action.
And I love the versatility in the play call here. Not only does it give the defense something to think about, it also saves some of your playmakers. Spread the love, but spread the burden as well, as Isaiah Adams. Great second effort. He was surrounded and ensconced the entirety of that run, but he still picks up about a 5 yards worth of forward progress, setting up a second and manageable from just over the midfield marker.
Well, we've talked a lot about some of the blocking of Russ Weir this afternoon going up against the linebackers on the quick crack block there. That time it was Sustanovic able to elude Weir and forcing Adams to have to step it back inside, but again showing his athleticism to pick up a decent gain first down.
Second and 5. Anthony Leo dropping back to pass. He's got Isaiah Adams leaking out, but he is going to go for Matt Camillo, and Camillo bobbled a catchable ball And that is going to bring up a third down. However, I was surprised to see him go to Camillo. Isaiah Adams was sitting there right in the middle of that defense with more than enough for first down distance. But we've seen Anthony Leo. He has a connection with Matt Camillo. We saw that in both Laurier contests last year. That is one of his go-to guys. And sometimes that trumps being open. If you're my guy, even if you're not necessarily as wide open, I'm still going to get you that ball because I trust you. I feel good with you.
Yeah, just a little bit of a high pass forcing Camillo to make a tougher, try and make a tougher reception.
Tyler Mullen back on the field here. 36-4 ball game with less than 3 minutes remaining. Jackson Taylor. Oh! TJ Ryan bifurcates the McMaster returner there. What a hit from DJ Ryan. My goodness, and no time to enjoy a crisp, cool water as number 54 back on the field after making one heck of a special teams play. And we have got a couple newer defenders out there, I believe, for the Gales. We have number 3, Evan Nitschke, getting his first reps of the season over at cornerback. We have number 93 for the Gales in as well. That is a defensive. Oh, geez. Oh, James Burton. There he is. I was looking at the rush end position. There we go. James Burton, Carter Martin, number 58, Eli Bennett. Jeremy Hiscox in, TJ Ryan in, number 33 for the Gales in as well. So we have got some of our younger defensive players, Brandon Spence, in there as well to close out this first victory of the season for the Gales. And as Don has noted, first regular season victory in McMaster since the conference realignment of 2001.
As you mentioned, Nitschke coming into the game, another part of that brother brigade for the Gales, and he goes in at the cornerback position. And what they do, Ian St. Arnaud normally is the field side corner. You talk about your corners as either being the boundary or the field side. The field side is the wide side, so Nitschke goes over there, and then St. Arnaud is going to flip to the boundary side and give Jared Seaway a bit of a break for the rest of this game.
Fallman throwing the pass. Jeremy Hiscox deflecting that one. A first and 10 quick hitter from Luke Dahlman is deflected away by Jeremy Hiscox. And folks, after this defensive series, we're going to throw to a word from our title sponsor, the Grad Club, because there's a lot of great events coming up at the Grad Club over the next few weeks. But we've got a second and 10, and actually this is a new quarterback in for McMaster. This is Lucas Barisi rolling out. Gets a great crack block on number 58, Eli Bennett, but that pass falls harmlessly to the turf as the McMaster faithful begin to make their way back on home after a tough but a good learning experience for this young McMaster team. As Queens will secure their first victory of the season. We've got Ben Valkowski and Russell Weir back to field this punt. But it very well could be another conceded safety, and it is indeed. Michael Horvat going to give up two more points, making it 38-4. And we are going to throw to a quick word from our sponsor, the Grad Club.
Here are just some of the outstanding events coming to the Grad Club in the next 2 weeks. Saturday, September 6th, Save Our Grad Club fundraiser. This 19-plus event begins at 8 p.m. and it is a by-donation cover charge with all proceeds going to the Grad Club. This event will also feature music by Letter of Mark. Go to gradclub.ca for more information. Be sure to check out Grad Club's weekly trivia night every Thursday at 8 p.m. brought to you by SGPS. Head-scratching questions, whimsical prizes, all in a comfortable, inviting atmosphere. This event often hits capacity, so be sure to get there early to guarantee your spot.
And we are back at it. We've got Ben Valkowski split out wide here. This is Anthony Leo with a quick hitter to Preston Martin. Great game for Preston Martin. Preston Martin still on his feet, falling forward for a first down and then some. Preston Martin, bit of a coming out party for number 10 for the Gaels. Had a great double move earlier. Has had a couple key grabs. And, wow, he really had an outstanding individual effort there, Doc.
Well, and this is the play that the Gaels have thrown to their outside receiver, Jack Ashby Jacobs, a lot in the game, where you see the slot back. Oftentimes it was, Cedric Smith doing the block. This time it's Russ Adams out of the slot position doing the block, allowing his outside receiver partner to get upfield for first down yardage.
First and 10 for the Gaels from right around the midfield mark. Hand off to Jared Kasari. Jared Kasari still running hard, but not finding much purchase.
You know, and Jesse, that play, one of the things I'm wondering, do we see, you know, as things evolve going further down the through the rest of the season, where that slot back, when they come up to make it look like the block, then takes off deep in that. And, you know, because certainly, the Gaels are putting a lot of stuff on film that they like that play. It's sort of that quick hitch route to the outside receiver and then spinning off the inside block from the slot receiver.
That is a Coach Nez staple. We saw it run to great effect all throughout 2024, and it has been a bread and butter play today. Second and long. Leo, speak of the devil, Don. There it is again. Preston Martin breaking along the right-hand side of the field. Preston Martin having himself a day here in Hamilton. Number 10 has kind of been public enemy number one for this McMaster defense over the last couple quarters. Just a tremendous throw and catch from Anthony Leo to Preston Martin.
And yet again, the key block is Russ Weir taking on one of the linebackers to give him the yardage. But tremendous, like you talk about the Gaels' depth in receivers. Now you've got Ashby Jacobs, you've got Martin, both of them on the outside. You know, great route runners, and both of them having some nice speed to get open downfield.
Russell Weir in motion. We have about a minute to go, and Leo is going to look for Preston Martin again. But one time to the well too many, as that falls incomplete, and Queens stops the clock as we have 54 seconds remaining in our fourth quarter of action. We will have a quick grad club post-game show. We'll talk about some of the players of the game and, preview next week's primetime matchup. Laurier Golden Hawks.
That time Matthew Bello Oshodi not going for the double move by Martin. Nice job in the secondary for the young McMaster defender.
It's going to be a handoff to Isaiah Adams on the right-hand side. Isaiah Adams running with purpose. Great gain there. We'll set up a third and... first down. Great gain from Isaiah Adams, and this is the... We've seen this all throughout today's contest. Queens running on second and 10, either draw plays or just a designed outside run there, and finding great effect.
I think one of the keys that time, probably one of the most athletic offensive linemen, Nick Henning in the OU, doing a nice job blocking to allow Adams to get outside and get the first down.
Former H-back turned tackle, his sister, Don, just recently accepted a full-ride scholarship to Michigan State as a soccer goaltender. So it's a prodigiously athletic family as we have 25 seconds remaining here. Queens locking up their first win of the season.
So would you say then maybe a Spartan offensive performance here this afternoon for the hometown team?
Very good. I see why Bill loves you so much, Todd. You, entertainer, analyst, educator, and now witness to the first Queens win of the season, a 38-4 victory over a very game McMaster Marauders squad. As the Gaels, without much fanfare from the Hamilton faithful, will lock up win number one, and I think assuage a lot of fears from boosters, fans, and students alike. And just like that, folks, the game is over. Your Queens Gaels have prevailed over the McMaster Marauders by a score of 38-4. We're going to hear a word from the Grad Club and then come back with you for the Grad Club post-game show.
Located in the heart of the Queen's University campus, the Grad Club is a premier destination for concerts, events, and private gatherings in the city of Kingston. The Grad Club and its staff pride themselves on creating a safe, inclusive space for all. Interested in booking your next event, function, or study group? Head to thegradclub.ca for more information. Listening to Gales Game Day on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up next, the Grad Club post-game show.
And we are back, folks. It's Jesse Bell and Don Lewis with you, and this is the Grad Club post-game show. Thank you to our longtime supporters at the Grad Club. They're making our Gales Game Day broadcast possible with their generous support. And Don, we have now got win number one in the books for the Queens Gales. What are your thoughts on this victory over the McMaster Marauders?
Just a tremendous team victory, I think, in all phases.
And that here this afternoon, the Gales got things going with the passing attack once again. You had that deep pass in the first quarter to Nathan Falcone. Ultimately, the defense for McMaster stiffening and the Gales just coming away with a field goal. But then a couple drives later, they go deep, this time 51 yards for Nathan Falcone going in for the touchdown. And so they got Falcone going. You're getting the deep passing game going. You know, we're seeing these quick out routes that we've talked a lot about to Martin and Ashby Jacobs. And then we start to see the rushing attack start getting going here this afternoon. Ethan Dahl going in for a couple of touchdowns here, but also we're seeing some great running from Jared Kasari, great running from Isaiah Adams, and then you flip it to the other side. And that we talked about the job that the linebacking core did here this afternoon. Great plays, you know, really when you're taking a look, all of them. Justin Pace, great day. Jacob Baldwin, great day. James Gillingham, great day. And again, one of the question marks coming into the season, the job of that front four here this afternoon again.
It was a statement victory in a way, as the Gales snapping a long road losing streak in the regular season against the Marauders, and they got the things going that we talked about, the things that they needed to get going. Every playmaker was making plays today, which was not the case last week against the Western Mustangs. And my goodness, what can you say about the first two games of the season for Alex Vraken? I think he is not just the offensive engine for this team, but it is so clear to me that he is playing the game at just another level mentally right now as well. Not just in terms of his quarterback and football IQ, but the mental toughness. We watched him game on the line last week, scramble for his life, score that touchdown, and more emotion than I've ever seen from that young man on display. Right now, Alex Vraken, it's early, but he looks like a possible MVP candidate for the OUA.
Well, you talked about the decisiveness of Ethan Dahl running. I think it's the decisiveness of those reads. You know, and it's not just after the ball is snapped. He's doing a great job pre-snap of taking a look at what the defense has. You know, the number of times he's doing that, you know, if he sees that the defensive back is off, he's doing that quick pass out, you know, and that's not an easy pass. It's often set up when the ball's on the right, on the hash, on the right side. He's getting the ball all the way across the field, right on the boundary on the left side, picking up easy yardage. And that, and then, as you said, we saw a couple of really nice scrambles here this afternoon. That play last week in the corner, and that, knowing some of the challenges he's had with concussions and that kind of thing, taking on and picking up that touchdown in overtime last week was tremendous.
It looks like he has turned the corner, and once again, knocking on wood, we hope for the health and safety of every player, but if he can stay healthy and maintain that level of play, he has got this offense looking frightening. In the years past, I don't think they've had the horses necessary to run with some of the top offensive teams in the OUA. I think Queens has shown that they have got a stud stable of athletes incredible playmakers, and that defense, reliable as ever. No touchdowns surrendered, no points surrendered, honestly. 4 points conceded through special teams. This defense was a special unit today, and that brings me to it, Don. Who are some of your, it can either be your player of the game or your offensive, defensive, and special teams standouts for today?
Well, I think it's maybe easier on the defensive side to a certain impact because you can name so many guys on the offense. Certainly on the defense, I'm going to start with Justin Pace. And that, you know, the Gales defense starts with Justin Pace,
yes.
Right? You know, in terms of really being the heart and soul of that defense, you know, he made a physical play in the first quarter. Yes, there was an objectionable conduct, but, you know, I thought I saw after that, you know, especially, you know, for Thalman trying to go up the middle after that on scrambles, not as maybe yearning to do that as he was. And that Pace, you know, when we talked about what's going to happen in the second half, are things going to flip the script like things happened last year? Nope, he made sure that didn't happen. The number of times we see him step into the hole, even if he's blocked, he comes up to make the tackle and that. And then, you know, again, once we start to flip it over to the offense and that, you know, you can make a case for Dahl. But again, the leadership, again, you go back to the job that Alex did here today and that making the throws that needed to be done when they needed to be done. And then, you know, I think you've got to go with Fraken and Pace.
I would agree. Tyler Mullen, I think, is a pretty unanimous choice special teams-wise, not just for his kicking duties today, but also handling the lion's share of the special teams punting today as well. I would echo you with both Fraken and Pace, but two guys that I think, once again, really stood out and made impressive performances. It was so great to see Nathan Falcone back to his all-conference form. Struggled last week. Had that one undeniably clutch catch to get them in the field goal range against the Mustangs, but we saw some uncharacteristic concentration drops from Falcone last week. Today, he was the most explosive player on the field for the Gales. He scored a touchdown. He set them up for a field goal, and we just watched him make hustle, energy plays all throughout. And defensively, yes, Justin Pace, all-Canadian caliber, back to that kind of top-notch form, but this was a great game for Jacob Baldwin. I think the improvement even from last week to this week is noticeable, and that's a very scary thing because he's only been playing organized football for less than 5 years, all told. This is a Queens team absolutely loaded with playmakers, and they're going to need every last single one of them next week, Don, because we have a primetime clash under the bright lights of Richardson Stadium as your Queens Gales host the defending Yates Cup champion, the Laurier Golden Hawks, in a game you can't afford to miss. You can catch Don and Bill on OUA TV. You can catch me on CFRC. Don, any closing thoughts before we send the folks home happy?
Friday Night Lights next week. You know, Laurier, a bit of a team in transition as Taylor Elgers might graduating, and you know, all the he's done tremendous job down south, and that hopefully he can catch on with the team down there. Cal Wither goes from Ohio, comes back, Mississauga boy, comes back to Laurier and leading them. They had a big victory last week, but Jesse, it's been wonderful to be back on CFRC here this afternoon, having the opportunity to work with you once again. I know, you know, we connect a lot throughout training camp and that kind of thing, and certainly when we have the opportunity to help host the you know, the Gales Quarterback Club during the week and that, but you know, really wonderful to be here with you this afternoon on CFRC.
Oh, well, thank you, Don, and thank you, folks, for listening. We'll be back with you next week. Until then, folks, your Gales take home their first victory of the season, and it's as refreshing as this cool Hamilton breeze. For Don Lewis, this is Jesse Bell signing off and throwing you back to CFRC's main station. Stay tuned. We've got a promo hyping up next week's game against the Laurier Golden Hawks.
On Friday, September 5th, we have a primetime clash under the lights at Richardson Stadium. The Gales and the Laurier Golden Hawks meet for the first time since the 2024 OUA semifinals. Can the Gales score a measure of revenge against the defending champs?
Touchdown, Queen!
Or will the Golden Hawks soar to their fourth straight victory over the Gales?
No! No! You are kidding me!
Tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM on Friday, September 5th at 6:15 p.m. for the Grad Club pregame show ahead of the scheduled 6:30 p.m. kickoff.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new single released July 25th by local electronic artist Cacao called Light It Up. The new single features Cacao himself on vocals, surrounding the idealism of self-actualization in a grand universal sense. It's a fun, funky, and upbeat electro song guaranteed to make you move and raise your vibration. Accompanied by groovy synth work, punchy drums, and funky vocals, Cacao takes you on a journey of cosmic self-discovery and a whole lot of bass. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Light It Up by Cacao on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Hello, tis I, DJ Tangent. You may know me from episodes of Making Bacon, such as the St. Patrick's Day special, the Homegrown Live preview show, and the Spring Reverb extravaganza. I have my own show now called Numbers with Wings. Join me, and I will take you on a voyage through garage rock, punk, post-punk, cowpunk, Paisley Underground, and more, all viewed through my, some say, unique perspective. I will be broadcasting live on CFRC 101.9 FM, Sundays from 2 to 3 p.m., and on CFRC.ca a few seconds later, or you can check it out at your leisure.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Love and Space from local artist New Clarion, who released their sophomore EP, Phonetic, earlier this year. The new single explores the idea of finding love where you least expect it. Sonically, it occupies a more rhythmic R&B flair in the modest New Clarion catalog, but features the signature stacked vocals and atmospheric textures that listeners have heard through previous releases. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Love and Space by New Clarion on your favorite platforms and enjoy it now with us here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Goldilocks alone.
Since its inception in 2022, CFRC Power Plays has become the number one destination for all things Queens football.
And that is a touchdown for the Gales!
With over 50 million lifetime views, CFRC Power Plays is the defining voice in Queens football coverage.
Looking for Nico Cuomo! Cuomo! My goodness! Nico Cuomo with a touchdown!
Follow us today on Instagram at CFRC Power Plays, your number one spot for rock solid football action.
My name is Corey, and I am one of the managing editors of Quilt, a